streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
The USMNT take care of business against Jamaica in a 4-1 friendly win. We also discuss with Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce what's coming up for the USMNT later this weekend against Northern Ireland. And we have our weekend preview as well as we look ahead to UEFA World Cup qualifiers and so much more. We give you betting tips and a really special parlay that you'll really want to listen to. Que Golazo begins right now. The USMNT get the job done against the Reggae Boys. We got Jimmy Conrad in the house, Heath Pierce in the house. Jimmy, what's up, man?
What's up? I'm excited. Good performance. We won 4-1, and there's a lot to talk about, both good and not too much bad, but we can get into it.
Absolutely. Heath, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I've got a cramp right now in my side, and I don't know how to diagnose it. I'm hoping it's dehydration, but otherwise, you know, good result from the U.S., and I'm excited to talk about it.
The second time you're cramping on me, man. Third time, and I got to call someone.
The leg cramp, I get that. That's from actually, like, I'm like, okay, I'm definitely dehydrated, and I worked out too hard, and I put my leg to see how far under my chair I could put it, and that's going to cause a cramp. And now it's like a habit to keep trying to see if it's going to cause it again. This is just out of nowhere. Also, probably, I should probably take a look at all of this at some point, you know?
Man, you're just always so injury. Thank God you're pretty, man, because I swear to God. Like, all right, everybody. USMNT against Jamaica, as Jimmy said, 4-1 to the American boys. Jimmy, give me your just initial reaction on the game.
My initial reaction was, and I'm always looking through a defensive player, defender perspective through the lens of that. We gave up too easy of a goal. I Chris Richards, I wanted to see him start instead of Aaron Long because I know what Aaron Long can bring. Aaron Long did start. It was solid, no problems there. Chris Richards comes in at halftime, and I thought he could have done a little bit better tracking the run, maybe a little bit just recognizing the danger a little bit quicker. There were other issues along it. That aside, I thought we were pretty good going forward. I thought that we committed numbers. It took us a while, maybe 15, 20 minutes to get into the game. But once we did, once Jamaica ran out of their first wind and they couldn't really breathe anymore because I don't think they're in top shape. And I know some of our players aren't either, but I thought that then we took control of the game and it was just a matter of time to get some goals. And I know that Heath predicted a 3-0 win, I think. You and me, Luis, we said that both teams were going to score, the U.S. were going to win. So we hit that one, baby. Let's go. I will say, though, that the better team won. We were the better team. And I feel like we need tougher opponents. I mean, that's kind of my big takeaway, too, is I want to see us try to break down teams that won't get tired after 90 minutes.
Yeah. Heath, how about you? Initial reactions on this win, on this victory?
Yeah, overall positive. I think there's so many good things to take from this game. Obviously, again, the hardest part is like all we want every time this international break is like somebody challenge us. We know how good this team could potentially be. We know how potentially deep they are. We know the quality and the youth and all of these things, but we want to be challenged, like somebody come after us. And we haven't had that yet. So we tend to see that we had 20 plus shots, dictated sort of the flow of the play. We're never really threatened, again, on Jimmy's point around the goal against. That's a little bit alarming. I think, you know, Reggie Cannon did a good job of slowing the play down. But as soon as you have those recoveries behind you, you have to step in and tighten up on the guy, not allow him a free pass. But, you know, there's a lot of positives that I look forward to taking from that. Most notably, just the fact that right off the top that with Pulisic, it's a weird new national team. And the fact that if you go back 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 3 years, even, every time we got the ball, we were like, get it to Pulisic because he's the only one that's going to do something. He's the only one that really has the capability to create magic in a time that we're really bad. Now, if you look around, there's a whole bunch of players that want the ball all the time. And you're not looking to just pull, not everything has to go through Pulisic. And that's probably going to be a learning curve for Pulisic, right? That when he wants the ball, he's not going to get it. We see this at the club level with a number of guys we've discussed on this pod in the past. Now he's going to have to figure out where he fits into this line because now you have a Dest that can do dangerous things. You have Gio Reyna now playing with him that can do dangerous things. You have Yunus Musah, and then you're missing a few of these really top players like Timo Weah and others. So it's a new kind of a new dawn that's going to require the old star, even though he's only 22, Christian Pulisic, to find a new rhythm within the team, but also start to trust the fact that this is way better. You have all this quality around you, and now you get to find a rhythm in terms of runs, in terms of how you're going to play, in terms of how you're going to combine. And yeah, I'm excited about where that goes. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, for sure. Jimmy, Heath mentioned Pulisic. I did think at the beginning of the game, the game was focused a lot on that left side. But to Heath's point, then you start bringing, I mean, that great first opening goal from Sergiño Dest. I mean, it helps, when you do that in and out in a Barcelona training ground, but you can see it. I mean, that's been the conversation, right? Like, these players are not just playing in Europe. They're playing in big teams in Europe, and that helps. And that quality you could see through against the Jamaica side, who obviously was missing players, et cetera, et cetera. But it was a good win. But and any other notes, specifically individual performances?
Yeah, I would say, from a quality, you say quality. I also think it's quality with confidence. It's quality with your mentality. It's quality in how you see the game and how comfortable you are under pressure. And I think we see that a lot with Sergiño Dest. You can tell that guy is just riding this confidence high, and I love every single minute of it. To Heath's point, we do have some very special players that aren't named Christian Pulisic, and that's a good problem to have. What also jumped out at me was the fact that we have a lot of guys that can beat people 1v1. And I don't think we had that as consistently, let's say, on both sides of the ball, where teams can't really stack up one way or the other. Jamaica did try to stack up Pulisic early on. And then when Gio Reyna got more of the ball, once, Sergiño Dest was starting to run into midfield, or Leggett or Musa or anybody else was coming through, then that allowed some more space for Pulisic to be isolated 1v1. And that guy is so good 1v1, it's ridiculous. Every time I'm like, maybe he's not so sharp. He's so quick in his decision-making, like, they're not even close to him. They can't even get an arm on the guy. That's how much distance he's created when he makes that initial move. The big step, I think, for us as a national team, and for Pulisic in particular, is what do we do after we beat that first defender? Because now you're drawing the next defender in. So the support runs have to be good. Everybody's got to be thinking the same things. How do people crash late? I think we saw it very well there in the second half. Leggett waited for stuff to happen. He scores two goals, just kind of doing that Frank Lampard-esque run, coming in late, just slotting some balls in. No big deal. He didn't have to shoot. He just passing them in because everything was set up so nicely. We didn't do that so well. And Heath said it earlier on HQ that we seem to get into each other's way, I think, as we were trying to unlock Jamaica in some ways. But once we start to undo that and we beat that first defender and everybody's thinking the same things, we are really going to be unstoppable. And when you're adding guys bombing forward, whether Dest is on the left or the right, and Anthony Robinson's bombing forward, or Reggie Cannon, whoever it is. And then you got Weston McKennie bombing forward, making those late runs. And then Yunus Musa, who I thought probably won't get the acclaim he deserves. For an 18-year-old to sit in the hole and just be solid and be patient is unbelievable. That guy played like he was 30 and had 100 caps. I was really impressed with Yunus Musa today, just like playing within himself, playing for the team and not saying, hey, look at me, I can also go box to box and do this stuff too. It was really impressive. So yeah, a lot of great performances. And then I just want to say this now, because I think we're going to move on, but there's a lot of MLS haters out there. And as someone that played extensively in MLS, every time I played for the national team, you always kind of had a chip on your shoulder to make sure you could hold your own with the big boys over quote unquote Europe. But what I learned, and I know Heath had learned this too, he's played in both in Europe and in MLS, you're either ready when the whistle blows or not. It doesn't matter what your past was, and it doesn't what your future is going to be. Are you going to show up when the whistle blows and represent your country and play well? And that's what matters. And I thought Kellen Acosta, MLS only experience, Leggett, Aaron Long, all very, very good. And I think you need those players to find balance. You don't always need the big names playing the hugest clubs to be successful. And I think that's going to be a nice challenge for Greg Berhalter to find that best 11.
Yeah, I'm Brendan Aaronson, by the way, just moved to Europe. It's not like he has been in Europe for so long. And by the way, a defending Champions League champion came from MLS. So it's, there is, I think people that make that argument just don't watch MLS, basically. Yeah, they don't know what they're...
They've already had preconceived notions that they hate the league and everything it stands for and blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right. But it's a very good point. All right, let's wrap her up here. As just not on a negative, but on something to watch out for, right? They did concede a goal on a counter, which was a quick counter. I think it could have been, any team's going to concede in different ways, Heath, but, you know, it's something to watch out for, especially once again, when you're essentially playing a Jamaican side who's very much still needing their key players.
Yeah, and outside of the goal, by the way, there was a few chances few darting runs from Jamaica that were dangerous. And some of those players are quite good players from Jamaica, but again, when you go back to the Yunus Musa sitting in front of that back four and Kellen Acosta, you know, kind of allowing himself at a certain point to just sort of go freely into the attack. When you have a team that's like, okay, yeah, let him have possession. You know, you're going to face some international opponents. They're going to just sit back and go, let him have it. You know, let him get exposed, bomb two fullbacks forward and wait till they're sitting two center backs and maybe a six. And we're going to execute against them and force them to have to do those things. That's a little bit worrying, right? So again, I do think that that Long had a good performance. I thought that Brooks had a good performance, but against who, right? And so it's those sorts of things where it's like, yeah, it's good to have a good performance against an average team, but can you actually just literally put your foot down on these games from the start, control them, and not give up a sniff? Because when you look at the bigger teams, bigger club teams, bigger national teams, you know, they will go stretches. I remember playing one game against Spain, and I'll make this quick, and they didn't give up anything against us in Spain, in Santander. They didn't give up anything. It was literally, they had the ball the whole game, and then we would literally try to counterattack and get to the corner flags to put something in. And I don't remember them ever being like, oh, yeah, we can shut off for a minute and give up a goal. They ended up winning 1-0 late in the game. But those are the types of things that there are teams that will literally grind you down for 90 minutes fully focused. And if you give them a half chance, they will finish. So you have to be able to be turned on to not give up your half chances as well. So it's not something super alarming or something that I'm worried about, but it's something to address for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. All right, final word before we take this break on this game, Jimmy Conrad.
Yeah, we're going to win the 2026 World Cup. We're so good.
I'm laughing. Heath, how about you? Because we're saying goodbye to you, Heath. How about you?
Yeah, I'm just really excited to see this team, right? It's a start. It's again, one of those things. Each game we get a little bit more to be like, I can sink my teeth into this. I'm going to judge this team a little bit better because the opponent's a little bit better and the team's finally coming together. But yeah, just a really, really exciting time to be a soccer fan in the U.S.
Yeah, no, rightly so. All right, well, that was our recap. By the way, Northern Ireland facing Italy as we tape their Dan Juan. Nothing, we'll see what happens there. But another game this weekend as well for the U.S. MNT. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we want to say goodbye to Heath Pierce. Heath Pierce, I hope you know, figure yourself out, right? Let's not get more like, you know, don't pull anything. I don't know what you need to do, but come on, take care of yourself. We need you.
Thank you, guys. I'm realizing that I should probably be looking more into these cramps and things like that than I was before. You know, it's like starting to become a little bit of a statistic to people externally, you, aka you guys. So thank you for the health and wellness checks. I'm going to go figure this thing out.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Walking to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Qué Golazo. This was our USMNT Jamaica recap / weekend preview. International break always delivers something interesting. So Jimmy and I are going to break it down. Jimmy, I know you have some games you are looking ahead to this weekend. What do you have for me, my man?
Well, there's quite a few games, obviously, in the international break every single day. There's like 15 to 20 games going on in some capacity. I'll just start because we just had a U.S. men's national team conversation. I'm looking forward to Sunday against Northern Ireland from their perspective, see if they can build off this result against Jamaica. And then even bigger than that, I'll be honest with you, is the U.S. U-23s. We don't know who their opponent is yet as of this taping, but they have a semifinal on Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and I am here for it. I am super excited about this game in particular. We need to win this game to qualify for the Olympics for the first time in our last 3 tries. So this is so important for this group of players. We need our younger players getting as many meaningful games as possible. We need to make sure that we kind of own our region and start to do it at all levels, not just the full team, but also U23s are U20s, U17s, all the way down, both men and women, right? So we want to make sure we're a force and that we continue to build and get better. So those, of course, are going to be near and dear to my heart. But there's some other ones that I'm paying attention to. I've got a couple lines on a few. Obviously, with England, you know, big surprise that Trent Alexander-Arnold didn't come in. Steven Gerrard actually came out and said, you know, what are they doing over there? What's Gareth Southgate doing? Like, why would he not take in Trent Alexander-Arnold? Obviously, there's some Liverpool bias there with Steven Gerrard and Trent. But I want to see how his replacements do. I want to see Reece James. I want to see how he does. And if that, because that could hurt. You know, if you're not playing well on both sides of the ball, that's how competitive it is for England right now. And then I want to see Germany. I want to see how they're playing under Yogi Love, specifically Florian Wirtz. You know, their teenager who's in the team, and I want to see how he does when he's playing next to Thomas Muller. I don't think Thomas Muller is actually in the team, but when he's playing with, you know, all these other guys no disrespect to the team he plays on, Mönchengladbach, but dude, I'm all over the place. Bayer Leverkusen, but you know, just to kind of take that step up and see how he, like Brendan Aaronson with the U.S., how will he do when you make him go up and play with the national team? So I'm excited about that. Italy, of course, I want to see as much Verratti and Barella in the midfield as possible. But the games that I'm looking at for lines purposes is Portugal taking on Serbia. So they traveled to Serbia to make that happen. Portugal got lucky in their last one. They had 67% possession. It was against Azerbaijan. They needed a defensive error to get the 1-0 win. So I feel like, I don't know about how you feel, Luis, but Portugal has a tendency of winning ugly. Then they'll play beautiful for a game, but then they'll play ugly. I think Serbia, who had they beat Ireland 3-2. Mitrovic came on in the 75th minute and had a brace to get it to 3-1. And then Ireland scored late to make it 3-2. I like this game a lot. I think that Portugal will win, and I'm going to name their lineup. You're going to be like, yeah, they're definitely going to win. And then I think that Serbia will score. I think they will. So I like the Portugal to win, both teams to score plus 230. CR7 did not score. Obviously, it was an own goal in that Azerbaijan game. So him to score, because I think he'll show up for this one. Portugal to win 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, plus 340. If you like 2-0, 2-1, or 3-1, that's plus 375. I'll let you guys decide on that. But Portugal's lineup is sick, dude. They got Cancelo. They got Ruben Dias for Man City, right? They got Pereira, Moutinho, Bruno Fernandes, Paulo Neto, João Felix, Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, that team is ridiculous, dude. They are so good. So I like that game a lot. I think Portugal are definitely one of the favorites to win the Euros. I don't know how you feel, Luis.
No, I agree. They've won the European Championships ugly. They win ugly. They love to win, but they're so good and they're so resilient. It's kind of like, you know, we need a little bit of that in the modern game. You know, it's like, we're here to win. I don't care what you, and that's Portugal. And by the way, Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, as you as well have mentioned on HQ and myself as well, closing in on Ali Dai's record as well to see if he can do it. So I wonder, just because he didn't do it in Azerbaijan against Serbia, how will that happen? But you always have to count Portugal for the European Championships every single time. Every single time.
100%.
They're just too good. They're too good.
Okay, then I got two more games for you guys. One is Norway, who beat Gibraltar in their first game of this break 3-0. Erling Haaland did not score, and they're taking on Turkey, who beat the Dutch 4-2. We're going to get into the Dutch in a second, but their 35-year-old messy of a player, Burak Yilmaz, scored a hat-trick against the Dutch, and very good goals. It wasn't like this, you know, little tap-ins or anything. He scores very good goals, and you love to see it. Now, we're going to get into the Dutch in a second. I think there's going to be goals. I think both teams will score here. Norway, though, a little bit better than people think, and same with Turkey. I could see a draw here. Both teams to score is kind of what I'm looking at, plus 320. If you're leaning towards one or the other, it's pretty much a coin flip this game. If you want, like, Norway straight up, it's plus 130. If you want Turkey straight up, it's plus 180. So you could really go any direction. I think both teams will score, so I think you should factor that in. But Erling Haaland to score any time is plus 110. I love that. That dude loves to score. Martin Odegaard will be starting in this one for Norway as well. He can drop some dimes, as we know. So this is going to be a good game overall. I think you got two hot teams feeling pretty good about themselves with some really talented players. If you're going to circle your calendar and say, hey, I want to sit down to watch a European World Cup qualifier, Norway-Turkey is going to be a banger, I think, in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Turkey look very good.
Very good.
I guess we have to talk about it, the Netherlands.
We do.
Who once again, you know, I don't think follow the protocol of reading up on somebody's Wikipedia or their statistics, but nobody denies what Frank de Boer has given to the game. It's just that his resume is awful.
Awful.
Awful as a manager. Why don't we talk about that, Jimmy, for a second?
So let's talk about Netherlands-Latvia. That's who they play next. I'm really curious about this game because the Dutch look so poor. I actually put out a tweet that there's bad, and then there's Frank de Boer bad. And it's got a ton of traction because people know it to be true. I mean, he did well at Ajax, right? I think he won three or four straight Eredivisie titles, right? Everything was cruising, but he had Christian Eriksen on that team, Jan Vertonghen on that team.
He was sort of handed that squad. Like, I don't want to completely not take everything away, but it wasn't. Yes, go ahead.
Well, it's one of those teams that could coach themselves. I mean, we look back at Barcelona's great teams when Pep Guardiola got started. Let's be honest. Those guys could have coached themselves. You got Carlos Puyol in the back, Victor Valdez, Xavi Iniesta. Like, those guys are coaches on the field. Pep, for sure, obviously, his influence was great. I don't want to take anything away from him, but I'm pretty sure Barcelona could have had a lot of the same success, even if he wasn't on the sideline. Now, you can have a manager go in there and mess it up. We've seen that plenty of times. But Frank de Boer, I think, rightfully just got out of the way. And maybe because that was his first introduction into managing, that he just could hang back so much and let the team kind of solve their own problems. That's where he's taken everything else. Well, he went to Inter Milan, was a train wreck, went to Crystal Palace, didn't win any games and out of eight and got fired, went to Atlanta United. And yes, he won an Open Cup and he won the whatever make-believe Liga MX MLS Cup.
Campeones Cup,
Campeones Cup, which I call make-believe because it's the first season. I'm sure it'll grow in prestige as time goes on. But so he wins those, but you know, it was still of a train wreck. He gets fired there and then he takes over Hall and everybody's like, what do they do? He must be amazing at interviews. That's all I want to say is Frank de Boer must be amazing at interviews. There was a sign of life there at the end of that game between Turkey and Holland, where the players, I think, at some point have some pride. It kicks in like, dude, we got to do something here. Like, we're getting run over. Tim Krul didn't play that well in goal for Holland. Didn't really make the saves that you need your goalkeeper to make in big games. But there are a lot of issues outside of Tim Krul. I think this team against Latvia, who Latvia has never beaten Holland, never scored against them when they've played, I think it'll be an ass-kicking, frankly, for Holland. And I think they're going to want to come out and set that tone right away. Because they did end that game against Turkey pretty well. They didn't start well. I think they'll start well. I think them to score fast, score early. If they score in the first 1 minute to the 15th minute, it's plus 150. I think they're going to score early. I like that value a lot. If you want to wait till the 15th, 16th minute to the 30th minute, it's plus 180. So I'll let you guys decide where you think Holland's going to score. But I think they're going to just press the crap out of Latvia, try to score that early goal, and then they can kind of chill and relax. But they need to get this win. They can't be joking around anymore and dropping points in games, especially the ones they were hosting.
Yeah, no, a very good point. I'll just say this about Frank de Boer for a second, because you tweeted that, and then I tweeted the Oprah interview with Meghan Markle, oh my God, whenever I read it, somebody's announced Frank de Boer. Listen, the only thing I also say about everything that you've said, which is so true, is that I also feel that whoever is hiring Frank de Boer doesn't realize that his predecessor, his philosophy is completely different. Like, what are you doing? Palace, fair enough. Inter was a mess. Atlanta United, de Boer could not be more different to Tata Martino. Yeah. And in many ways, the Netherlands, he also couldn't be more different to Ronald Koeman's sort of Reinus Michel sort of total football. It's much more passive. And to your point, the only reason why they came back in that Turkey game was because the players themselves were like, we got to do something. And it took some pretty special goals to get it there, but they still lost. But I agree. Listen, Jimmy, we're doing a parlay because I'm looking here, right? I'm thinking Netherlands 100% is going to lose. I mean, win, sorry. Netherlands is going to win no matter what. I totally am with you.
Okay, let's do a parlay then.
Okay.
I haven't looked. If you're already looking, let's keep it going.
I'm looking. Then the tricky one will be in a second. Then Spain's playing Georgia, okay? Spain is so good, man. I just don't.
They're really good.
So I'm going to go with Spain in there too. France is playing Kazakhstan, right? So I'm adding that one. And the tricky one, just to add a little bit more value, is the one that you talked about with Romania against Germany. So I'm like, do you see a Germany win there? And if you do, then do we add that? And we just make it a four parlay. I mean, the other one that you could do is England facing Albania, which is, I would imagine that's an England win for sure. See, these are interesting parlays because international fixtures, especially when you just focus with UEFA, when you have these big teams, you could gamble a little bit. I'm 100% with you. Netherlands is winning this.
What about Serbia, Portugal?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. So that was a tricky one.
It is tricky. That's a tricky one. I can because see it's in Serbia.
I could see an upset there, but I'm not confident about putting it in a parlay.
I gotcha.
What if you did like that one as a draw and then three wins for.
Oof, that's a tough one. Yeah, I could see it. I like Portugal to win, but I could
okay,
see.
No, I can be persuaded. All right, so let's go all in then. So why don't we do this? All right, Netherlands for sure. It's in, right? We'll do all victories. Netherlands.
Are you on William Hill? It's -6,600. You have to bet $6,600 to win $100 on William Hill.
But what if we add like three more?
No, I get that. You can get it to positive. I just like, holy crap. I've never seen that before. That is.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. Forget it then. Let's put Portugal then. Portugal in there.
Okay. Take Netherlands out?
Yeah, because the lines are terrible, right?
No, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Portugal in.
Okay, Portugal's in.
Okay. Germany, Romania, they can't be that bad.
So, France is in.
Yeah.
Portugal's in.
Yep.
And Spain is in, is what
yep.
I have.
Yeah.
That's plus 133.
Okay, let's add one more that could be kind of interesting.
Okay.
I feel that Bulgaria, Italy could be interesting because Italy's away. Bulgaria's kind of trying to rebuild itself.
Maybe Belgium over Czech Republic.
Okay. What's that?
Well, if I put that in, that would put us at plus 284. Not that big of a jump.
Mm. So we have to gamble with one of these.
We have to gamble with one, yes. Well, I think Serbia and Portugal feels like the gamble for me, but.
With a Portugal win, you're giving it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The draw would be the gamble.
The draw would be the gamble, wouldn't it?
All right, let's take, okay. Well,
I could see that Portugal doesn't necessarily like rout anybody.
They didn't play well against Azerbaijan.
And then Mitrovic gets a goal in the last second or something.
I could see it. Let's just do that. Let's just do a three-teamer.
All right.
We'll do Spain to win, France to win, and Serbia, Portugal to draw. That's plus 379.
Yeah, see, that's good. I like
all right.
that.
All right, let's roll the dice, baby.
All right, we're rolling the dice, everybody. And if you are with us, then you're with us. And if you're not with us, then...
Let us know who you pick. Hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, Kegolasso Pod. All right, so we got the Serbia-Portugal draw. Netherlands to win.
No. Netherlands out.
Oh, sorry.
Spain to win, Germany to win. Spain
to win,
France to win.
Spain to win. We're so confused. This is it.
Games.
I got it.
You got it.
Germany to win. France to win.
No. Spain to win. No, Germany's out. France to win, Spain to win, Portugal and Serbia to draw.
That's it.
Okay. 379.
Leave us alone, everybody. It's been a long day. All right. But anyway, tweet us, Kegolasso Pod. How did you do? But listen, international break is really interesting. There's a lot of things.
It is. It's like the Europa League.
Yep, absolutely. And there's also, by the way, some other games all over. You just got to check it out. International break is insane.
It is insane.
African Cup of Nations.
Yeah. CONCACAF World Cup qualifying.
My God. Yeah. Canada's playing in that.
Cayman Islands. They're playing the Cayman Islands. That's where I don't know anything about the Cayman Islands other than that's where shady people have bank accounts. You know? So it's. Okay.
That's all I know. That's their sponsor.
That's their sponsor. Shady bank accounts. It's on the front of their kit.
No. It's just a picture of a guy with glasses. Like, that's really mean. Now, Cayman Islands against Canada, Puerto Rico against Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, there's games, man.
There's games. And those are important games for those guys to take that next step to get into the next phase of qualifying.
Absolutely. Well, that's it. That's our weekend preview. One of the most interesting ones as of yet. International break, man. And without South American World Cup qualifiers,
it's
even more tricky. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Jimmy, any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
No, I can't wait to visit the Cayman Islands.
If you get in.
If I get in.
Jimmy, thanks so much, brother.
Thanks, Luis.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Kegolasso Pod. We are on Apple Podcasts. Follow us there. Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, youtube.com/Kegolasso. We're on cbsports.com. Every time you read a piece, you should be able to listen to us right there in the article. If you need anything, please tweet us, Kegolasso Pod. Always love to hear from you. Have a great, great weekend.
The The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.